Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We're delighted to have you with us today. And may I remind you that there is an avenue, an alternative that you can use to get to us that we might have some of your questions or comments. You can go to your computer and go to info@conservative.edu, info, that's I-N-F-O, at conservative.edu. You could spell out for us your question, your responses, or some subject that you would like for us to discuss and have dialogue on this broadcast. As we face the issues each day, we do so using the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus speaking to his disciples. And then he makes a profound statement about the word of God. He says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at issues, we do so based on a central biblicist viewpoint. What does the Bible say? We started a broadcast yesterday dealing with the subject of signs of the times, and we'll continue that study in our broadcast today. But I want you to be able to participate in the broadcast each day. It is designed around you, our listener. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We'd love to have your comments, your input, your questions. And by the way, you can ask the question about the subject that we're discussing or some other question or issue. We want to face the issues in a fashion that will be informative, encouraging, and yet challenging to you, our listener. You, our listener, make up this broadcast and the purpose of this program each day as we face the issues. And ladies and gentlemen, that number again is 904-401-1413, 401-1413. And ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the signs of the times, we have several things that we need to understand in relationship to that. It is a matter of recognizing what the Bible says. There are a lot of people today that's in oblivion. They're in absolute sense of non-care, concern in relationship to where we're going in our world. God gives us signs in the Scripture, and he tells us that in the last days there will be perilous times. And that word perilous means dark and dangerous, devastating, difficult, and something that is deadly. And ladies and gentlemen, if we look at society around us, I don't think anybody can say that we're not living in the last of the last days. Here's an article, for example. We closed with this article yesterday, but it was not clear in relationship to the weight of it. So I want to start with this article today and go from there in relationship to some of the signs. Here's an article that talks about a free-falling 8.5-ton Chinese space station that may crash into Laura, Michigan. Let me just read you some blurbs from it. The Tiangong, that's T-I-A-N-G-G-O-N-G, the name of the spaceship, the spacecraft. And by the way, that name, Tiangong, is supposed to mean Heavenly Palace, is the name that they've given it. The spacecraft has been out of control since September of 2016. By the way, it was launched in 2011. The Chinese had difficulty in controlling it the entire time that it was under their control and management. It is out of control, it's out of management, and they have no control over it today. The agencies around the world, this article says, have been monitoring the doomed craft and its descent. Lower Michigan among regions with the highest probability of being hit by debris from this disintegrating spacecraft. Experts from aerospace say it will re-enter Earth in its Earth's atmosphere April the 3rd, give or take a week or two. Around 10 to 40% of the satellite is still expected to survive the re-entry. An out-of-control Chinese spacecraft with highly, listen, here's my point, with highly toxic chemicals on board that is currently hurtling toward Earth may crash into lower Michigan, it has been revealed. U.S. Research Organization Aerospace Corporation revealed that parts of the southern lower Michigan are among the regions that have the highest probability of being hit by the falling debris, according to the studies on this spacecraft that's out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, why is that so important as we think about the subject of the last days and the signs of the times? And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that according to scientists, there are about 9,000 plus, and they may not even have the complete number, about 9,000 plus spacecraft floating around in outer space, many which have loads of deadly toxic chemicals on board. These dead spacecraft will eventually re-enter Earth's atmosphere and will land someplace around the globe. What should we expect? How should we respond? How does this fit into biblical prophecy and the signs of the times? Well, we're going to get to that more explicitly in a few minutes. But the Bible tells us what will happen in the last days of the tribulation, as found in Revelation chapter 6 through 18. As you study your scripture, ladies and gentlemen, it's imperative that you understand chronology and what God's word says will take place. The book of the Revelation is generally a closed book for most Christians. In fact, the overwhelming majority of pastors never preach out of the book of the Revelation. Revelation seems to be a secretive, hidden, secluded, sequestered book in the minds and the hearts of most Christians today. In fact, some even refer to it as the book of the Revelations. That is incorrect. It's the book of the Revelation. And the word revelation is the word the apocalypsis, that is the unveiling, the revealing of Jesus Christ. The book of the Revelation is all about revealing Jesus in the last days and understanding his power, his sovereignty, and his control over this whole world. So Revelation 6 through 18 is dealing explicitly with that time that is called the days of the tribulation, which will be a 7-year period of time. We're going to look at that a little more in just a few minutes. But before we look at chapter 8 in particular of the Revelation text, I want us to understand some chronology about the last days, about the time in which we're living. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. You may ask, what does that mean? What is the rapture? It is the sudden seizure, the sudden snatching away, the sudden removal of the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, from this old world. Yes, that is true. The Christian will not go through the tribulation. The tribulation is the thumos, that is the Greek word, T-H-U-M-O-S. It literally means wrath. The Bible records it as wrath. It is the wrath of God. The thumos, the white-hot anger of God. The anger of God toward a world that said no to his son, Jesus. The wrath of God toward a world that's rejected Christ, rejected the church, rejected God, rejected the Bible, rejected prayer, etc., etc. It is the wrath of God to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. And by the way, the classic text for that in the Bible is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It gives explicit details on how the church will be raptured and what shall take place. So the next thing on the calendar of God, ladies and gentlemen, is the rapture of the church. And when we talk about signs of the times or the signs of the last days, ladies and gentlemen, there are no signs to be fulfilled in the biblical record before the rapture of the church takes place. So the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ from this old world could happen at any moment. It could happen before this broadcast concludes. It could happen before the close of this day. It could happen before you wake up tomorrow morning. The rapture of the church is imminent. That means it can happen at any moment. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the rapture of the church is snatching the bride of Christ out of this whole world, because God's wrath will not be poured out upon the Christian. The wrath of God was mitigated on Calvary's cross on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took upon himself on Calvary's cross God's anger for sin. He became sin for us. He that had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin, Jesus Christ himself, took upon himself your sins and my sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All of the sins of all of the world were cast upon Jesus Christ there on the cross. And this is the reason Jesus, in those final moments in his physicality, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because in that nanosecond, God had to turn his eyes, he had to deflect his eyes from sin, which Jesus had become sin for you and for me. And so the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The following the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the one that's called the beast of Revelation 13, shall step on the scene, and there'll be the 7 years of tribulation. I call it the 7 years of ruin. It's the rapture of the church and then the ruin. The 7 years of ruin, the 7 years of tribulation, is where the Antichrist will rule and reign for that seven-year period of time. He will be the dogmatic, dominating dictator for the entire globe. His power will be coming from Satan himself. It is not a power that he's elected for. He is not elected. He has surrendered to him the powers of the prince, the potentates, and the prime ministers, and the presidents of all of the globe. According to the scripture, they will surrender their power to him. He will rule and reign. And according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 31 through 41, he will have major factors that's found in those verses that make it imperative that you understand who the Antichrist is, not by name, not as a personality, as one that we could name. We cannot name who it will be, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Antichrist is in the world today. He does not know that he will be the one that Satan will empower, that Satan will fill. He will be the, just as Jesus Christ is God incarnate, the Antichrist will be Satan incarnate. Anti meaning against. Everything that is for God, everything that's for Christ, everything that's for the church, the Antichrist will be against. And so that man of sin, that man that is referred to in Revelation 13 as the beast, the Antichrist, will rule and reign for 7 years. During that seven-year period of time, it's recorded chronologically, by the way, in the Revelation text in chapter 6 through 18. And we'll look at chapter 8 in just a moment, because that's where I'm going to focus based on the corollary of this spaceship, this space station falling from heaven, and what it connotes and what it may portend in the last days, as we see some of these articles falling from the sky and hitting the earth. The rapture of the church, the ruin. The next thing after the ruin, the 7 years, is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will return visibly, valiantly, and he will return in all the power and glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. So the rapture of the church, the ruin for 7 years, the return of Christ and the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And yes, he will rule and reign from his throne in the new temple that shall be built in Jerusalem, where Jerusalem will then be as it is today and has for 4,000 years. It's been the capital, the universal capital of the nation of Israel. And then finally, after the reign of Christ, will be the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity, where we, the scripture tells us, will rule and reign with him as we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. Then we will go into that rule with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. A wonderful study, by the way, on the chronology of the days before us, this old world. When I say us, the child of God, the Christian, will be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. We need to look up, listen up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or your comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Doc. I was just taking advantage of the first quiet time I've had in several months to work on a paper that I've been writing for quite a while, and it deals with exactly what you're talking about, so I figured I'd call in and make this comment. One of the great tragedies of our time is that the understanding of these end-time events that you're so clearly laying out before the audience today is to the average mind foolishness and unthinkable. And I think that's such a shame because it could not be more clear, both, I think, scientifically, historically, as well as scripturally, that the times in which we live are very, very, very significant. The idea of the spacecraft you're talking about would have been totally illogical years ago and would have been beyond the point of reality. But with all these isotopes of radioactive isotopes that are used in the spacecraft and the other systems that are on board, it's entirely possible that we could have a revelation-style calamity from these technical things. But whether that happens or not, that's immaterial. The reality is the message that you are preaching this morning that is, in my view, 100% correct. It's been proven in my last 30 years of doing research for things I'm writing about. You're absolutely right on, but how foolish the world is to look at these things as foolishness. It's not. We are speaking reality. The church can no longer look at this as metaphor for good and evil. We have to look at it, as you've said, as God's absolute truth. So, please.
Marshall, I'm thankful for your call. Let me say this before you go, and then we could continue the dialogue. But one of the things that I find so frightening from the theological, biblical, pastoral standpoint is that so many look at the book of the Revelation as being mythology, look at it in some sign or symbol rather than the reality. But all the book of the Revelation shall take place in an actual content as it is shown in the Scripture. It shall be real. We need to interpret the Scripture as being literal and not some mythological approach to the Scripture. And yet there's so many today that saying the book of the Revelation is already passed, or the book of the Revelation is mythology, or the book of the Revelation is just some symbolic fashion, that we ought not to be so concerned about it. In fact, I know Baptist preachers that look at it as simply being symbolic and mythological and do not ever open it to preach from the pulpit or to encourage people to understand what's going to happen in the future.
That is so well said and so true. I don't want to take any more of your time. You're preaching an important message. But the point is, there are folks rolling their eyes, I'm sure, those who just happened by on the radio dial and heard you speaking, and they're rolling their eyes and say, there's one of those crazy fundamentalists again. That's not what you are, and that's not what the message is. But remember, and you know this well, the preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness. And we are, in fact, preaching the cross here, because this is the second phase of what Jesus is doing. He came as a suffering servant. Now he's coming back as a judge and a roaring lion. And Amen. He's just around the corner, and people need to hear that. So please keep preaching what you're preaching. I love you. Thank you. And God bless you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for those comments. It fits very well into what we're talking about today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, may I simply say, as it is our caller just mentioned, today we're watching the clock ticking toward eternity. So many signs pointing to the fact, biblically, that warns us of the last days. Let me just give a little iteration of some of these things before we look at the Scripture in Revelation chapter 8, which is where I want us to wrap up our broadcast today. We're looking at murder by way of abortion, some 1.5 million every year. We're looking at drugs that are totally out of control, a drug-crazed society. Here's an article that frightens me, and I pray that it does you. This article says, a woman who clawed her own eyes out reveals the reason. A young woman who clawed out her own eyes while high on methamphetamine is speaking out for the first time since her horrifying story made headlines across the nation. Kaylee Muthaw, 20, of Anderson, South Carolina, told her story to Cosmopolitan in a piece titled, I'm the girl who clawed my own eyes out. This is my story. And the article is a pretty lengthy article, and I won't bore you or belabor the point, but simply, this article talks about the fact that she was high on drugs. The article talks about the fact that she started her drug use with marijuana and then increased it to the level of methamphetamine. And after she did that, she thought that on one of her highs, that she would, the only way that she could go to heaven was by clawing her eyes out. She told the magazine that she heard voices that told her to rip her eyes out in order to make it to heaven. She was holding both her eyeballs in her hands when she was found, and that she had squashed them. That's frightening. She had squashed them, although they were still somehow attached to her head. She is now, has been now allowed to go home as of March the 2nd, but she's spending weeks in the hospital, but she is completely, totally blind as a result of drugs. And yet we're authorizing that, legalizing that on a state-by-state national basis. It's frightening. Murder by abortion, drug-crazed society, sodomite lifestyle, where that is supposed to be the end thing today, where we have some 2 to 4% of society at the very maximum controlling the legislation and the direction of our cities and our states, our counties and our nation today to go. We're in apostasy. The church is in apostasy today. There's the great falling away that the scripture speaks of in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the apostatizing. And yet there are churches today that do not realize there's a book that's recently been written, ladies and gentlemen, called The Christless Church. We're living in that era today, the Laodicean era. We're living also in the day when the apostasy is so relevant and so real. Here's an article that says, "Church, a church hands out $125,000 to attendees with one simple request, pay it forward." And it's a church in Texas that put $125,000 in cash in envelopes and handed it out to the people in the congregation and simply said, pay this forward. But as I read the article about that, there was great enthusiasm. The pews were filled on that Sunday morning to receive their envelope with the cash in it, with the idea supposedly of paying it forward. It was simply a ploy. Yes, listen to me. It was a ploy used to encourage people to come and fill the pews. It's where wealth is in the church, and that wealth is devoid of anything that's called godliness or recognizing that we are there in church to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about some of the signs. Murder by way of abortion, drug-crazed society, sodomite lifestyle, no spiritual awareness because of apostasy, Christian persecution on every hand, where crosses are banned and the prayer is banned and the Bible is banned. And euthanasia, by the way, is now one of the end things. Here's an article that says, U.S. biochemist supports child euthanasia. And it goes on to talk about how we've had euthanasia in America now for several years in several of our states for the elderly or for those that are mentally impaired, as it is called, or some that feel that they are no more beneficial in society. But now there's the push to bring in the Netherlands approach, the Canadian approach, where kids, and this article says, from 1 to 12 years old, where they will, the parents will have the right to have them euthanized if they feel that there's something mentally wrong with them or some physical deformity. Ladies and gentlemen, if those are not signs of the last days in which we're living in, nothing in this world would be. But I want us to examine in these final moments a text in the Revelation text, in the book of the Revelation in chapter 8. Because in chapter 8 of the book of the Revelation, it starts out, and when he, and it's speaking of Jesus, had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels, angelos, messengers, who stood before, and that's the word pros, in front of God, that's in front of the throne, and them, and they were given them seven trumpets. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of the Revelation, there's seven seals. And the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, is the one that was found with authority and with power to open the seals. The seven seals are open one at a time, and unfurling from those seals is the judgment of God, the wrath of God, being poured out upon a society. And when that seventh seal is open, the scripture says there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Why silence in heaven when that seventh seal is open? Because it unfurls and it shows and it reveals the seven trumpets. You see, you've got seven seals judgment, seven trumpets judgment, and then seven of the vials judgment, the 21 judgments revealed in chapter 6 through chapter 18 of the book of the Revelation. And those judgments, the wrath of God is intensifying during those 21 judgments. And in the 8th chapter of Revelation, in the first verse, where it talks about silence for the space of a half hour, is because the judgment that's about to be revealed when the seventh seal is open and the seven trumpets are blown are so horrifying, so horrendous, so devastating, so destructive, so dark, and so deadly that even the heavenly host stands with bated breath and total silence in watching what is about to be unfurled and what will take place on this old earth that is called the United States of America and the globe in particular and in general. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at these seven trumpets as they're blown, as the trumpets are blown, the trumpets indicate as they're blown, the horrifying devastation that's going to take place. But I want us to read just two verses and talk about that and these closing minutes of this broadcast today. The scripture says in the 10th verse, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters because became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." Ladies and gentlemen, the article that I read to you about this Chinese spacecraft that's about to crash in America, and it will have debris scattered across the globe, and primarily the point of impact will be in America, as best the aerospace scientists can tell us. But it is the foreshadowing of this ultimate event that shall take place in the days of the tribulation. Now, hear me well. I'm not saying that this spacecraft, Chinese spacecraft that's about to crash, is part of the tribulation days. We're not in the tribulation. The church hadn't been raptured out yet. But it portends, that is, it shows forth, it is an indicator of what can take place and what shall take place. And when this spacecraft falls, it is seen as a great star falling from heaven. The first trumpet, by the way, that we find that is taking place. And then this is the third trumpet, the third angel sounding. And ladies and gentlemen, it is horrific to see what shall take place. When this trumpet, the third trumpet, falls from the sky, when this third trumpet is sounded and this devastation takes place, ladies and gentlemen, it will be absolute chaos. And the scripture tells us that because it is poisonous, that's the word wormwood, it is poisonous. And as a result of that, the waters of the world, hear me, the spring, the waters, fountains from the depths of the earth will be poisoned, and men by the millions around the globe shall die as a result of it. Now, I'm not trying to be a scare tactic, but I'm telling you what the scripture tells us is going to take place in the last days. We're living in the last days. We're seeing the signs of those last days. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question that we must ask, are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? The scripture tells us in Luke 21:28, when we see these things taking place, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a day coming when it'll be too late to pray, too late to go to church, too late to do anything. The church will be raptured out, and then all of these devastations shall take place. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.